Wherever two or three are gathered, there will I be also. We're very fortunate that we have these scriptures before us, and we're able to look at them and study them, and to come closer to our Lord. I thank you for being here this evening. Brother Harry, thank you. And for my call to worship this evening, I'd like to read to you from the sixth chapter of 3 Nephi. Familiar scriptures, I know, but yet it's always nice to hear familiar scriptures again, too. Beginning of 6th chapter, 19th verse. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, who, if his son ask bread, will give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? And we're here tonight to ask him to be with us as we come tonight to listen to our brother Harry with that he has provided for us, that he has studied for and wishes to offer to us. Let's open our service using hymn number 400, after which our brother Trenton Jones will offer our invocation. 400. Thank you.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful, beautiful day you've given us, and I've been really enjoying this weather, and I'm sure everyone else has as well. And please be with our speaker as he brings the word of life, that your spirit will loose his tongue and allow him to say the words you want him to say, that you want us to hear. And please be with those that are not here tonight, and that your spirit would abide with them as well. And thank you for Jesus Christ and the sacrifice he made on the cross for each and every one of us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
I do want to welcome you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, tonight. And I know why Christ called his disciples his friends, because my friends are here tonight in this audience. Come out on this Sunday night, a beautiful night, and many people have stayed home and are enjoying their families, I'm sure, which is a good thing. But I welcome you, and I want to thank you for coming tonight. I'm going to read out of section 4 of the Doctrine and Covenants for your listening. Now behold, a marvelous work is about to come forth among the children of men. Therefore, all ye that embark in the service of God, see that you serve him with all your heart, might, mind, and strength, that you may stand blameless before God at the last day. Therefore, if you desire to serve God, you are called to the work, for behold, the field is white, all ready to harvest. And lo, he thrusteth in his sickle with his might. The same layeth up the store, that he perish not, but bringeth salvation to his soul. Faith, hope, charity, love, with an eye single to the glory of God, qualifies him for the work. Remember faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, brotherly kindness, godliness, charity, humility, and diligence. Ask and you shall receive, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Amen.
Turn to hymn number 25.
I think I've struggled with tonight's sermons probably as much as I have any sermon I've ever preached before. I'm not sure why, other than the fact maybe it was my lack of preparation, perhaps. Maybe there wasn't enough of it. But I want to share with you tonight, as I've heard many of the young men come up here and tell their story of their conversion, how they came to the Lord, and what it meant in their life, and how it brought them forward in their work and in their desires to serve Him. Now, I was born in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, and my dad had been in the military, been in World War II, and he had been shot, and his heel was shot off. Fortunately, that was as bad as it got, but he was sent back home, and so consequently, as a result, here I am. So he was in the church. My grandmother, who was in the church also, however, my grandfather was not, but my grandmother was the sister of the woman who was married to Oscar Hubert Case. And you all know about Hubert and Oscar and his brother Oscar. And they were stalwarts in the church in the early days. And so I was kind of born into that family. Actually, I was my baby blessing, I was blessed by Hubert and Oscar. And maybe that's why I've been here this long, because I got to tell you, I've gone through some really trials and tribulations as far as illnesses and miraculous healings, actually. And I've told you about those. You kind of know about those. But anyway, we left Oklahoma City, and we went to a little town called Milo, Missouri, about 9 miles south of Nevada. It was a little farm down there. We had 120 acres, and next to us, my grandfather had a couple hundred acres. And they tried farming. My dad was an engineer. He went to Oklahoma State University, and he was an engineer, and he got on with the Missouri Pacific Railroad in that town, and he worked for them for his whole career and retired 30 or 40 years later. But anyway, in the little town of Milo, it was just a little podunk town, maybe 50, at a local grocery store where everybody congregated, and we had one gas station out on the road that was out on the big highway. It was 71, and then now I think it's the interstate. And in that little town, there was a small school, which is a school I attended for grade school, and I think first and second grade, I don't remember exactly which, but I attended that little brick school. We had a couple of school teachers that lived there in town, and then, of course, back in those days, you didn't have cell phones, so we had a telephone operator, and she had the apparatus to operate the telephone in her house, and she sat there all day, you know, taking calls and plugging people in. You had to pull the plug out, put it in a different spot. As I remember, our ring was three shorts and a long. That means three times real short and then three times real long. And they would know that that was our phone, and we'd pick it up. Of course, everybody else in the country picked it up too. So that's why they called it a party line. And everybody knew what everybody else was doing. Somebody was always listening in. So there was no privacy as far as that goes. But anyway, that's kind of where I started out. And I loved being on the farm. As a kid, I ran around and did all the things kids do. I went down to the creek. I had a creek to play in, and crawdads to catch, and fish to catch, and things like that. And I enjoyed living up there. And my first attempt at, well, I had a bicycle, of course, and I lived on a dirt road. It was about a half a mile to town. So I'd ride my bicycle to town and to school also sometimes. And if the water, there was two creeks, one on each end of the property, one on one side and one on the other side. And if it rained real hard, it would flood, and we couldn't get it down to the road, so we'd have to walk across the railroad trestle to get to town. And it did that a few times, too. Part of our property was on the opposite side of the railroad track, so we had cows, and we'd move them one side of the track to the other side. We'd just put up a wire across the track on both sides, and we'd run the cows across the track back over to the other pasture. And sometimes we'd forget to take the wire down, the train comes through, and there goes your wire, you know. But they also still had steam engines at that day. That's how old it was. So, and they set fires everywhere they ran up and down the track because of the coals and the ash and stuff that comes off those freight trains, and they start a fire almost every time. So our right of way between the track and the house was the barn was always burnt. And then when I got into high school, I went to a bigger town, Nevada. Nevada High School was the Tigers, Nevada Tigers. And, of course, like all of us that go to high schools, we had a particular, I don't want to call it pride, I guess is the only word you can use for our high school and in our sports and those things. And the whole town would turn out for a high football game and basketball games. We didn't play soccer, Tom, sorry. But anyway, it was fun, and they enjoyed it. And, you know, they took pride in their town. And unfortunately, that's probably one of our greatest downfalls is our pride. Who doesn't like to have somebody brag about them and tell them how good they are and how wonderful they are? And everybody gets a good feeling when somebody brags on them. But yet, that's not the thing we should be doing. We shouldn't be lifting one up above another one, because we're all the same. We're all in the Lord's hands, and we're all His people. And but going on back to the church in Nevada was a small congregation like this was. But it was probably about 40, 50 people there when I was there. And we had a few priesthood, and one of the highlights would be one of the missionaries would come in and preach to us every once in a while. And we had some really good ones. I don't remember all their names now. But anyway, that was our little church. But, you know, growing up there, and even though my dad got called to the priesthood while we were there, and of course I had many other family members around me that were in the priesthood, but I didn't have much interest in those days about going to church. I went because, frankly, Dad made me go. And I'm glad he did. Later on, I was glad that he did. And I imagine some of you could relate to that. I really didn't come into the gospel. Well, I put it the way the Lord did to Peter. He says, when you're converted, convert your brethren. You know, well, I was converted, but it was a long time later on. And although I had a wonderful background, I joined when I was I was past eight. I think I was about 10 when I was finally baptized and had all that, all those people around me. But anyway, it was a good life. I enjoyed it. And I left home as soon as I turned 17. I went in the Air Force. And I left home and I never looked back. I went home, of course, visiting and stuff like that. And my wife's from Independence. We met at the reunion campground here at Odessa Hills, and we were married in 65, I mean. Yeah, something like that. Somewhere in there. I'm not sure the exact date. July 9th, I know that. That's my anniversary. But you know, how many times was I saved from myself over those years? I couldn't count them all. And probably I don't even know them all, because I don't think the Lord showed me all of them, but there's been many times the Lord has prevailed in my life and kept me going for whatever reason that he has. I'll tell you, young people out there, count on the Lord. He's always there. He'll never let you down. He is a wonderful and marvelous Lord. I happen to be the chaplain for CPRS on Mondays and Wednesdays, and I thoroughly enjoy visiting with those kids. It's so neat with these the young ones, elementary. You know, you go to a prayer service with them, and they line up 12, 14 deep down the aisle, and they'll pray. And matter of fact, the teachers have to sometimes pick them out, because there's so many of them that want to pray, and we don't have that much time. So, you know, they have to kind of break it up so everybody gets a chance. Well, you go into the middle school, and they're still pretty good prayers. They still come to prayer service, and they still have their prayers and say their things that they need and the things that they want. And they pray about a lot of wonderful things. You know, they have family members that are hurting or have cancer, their grandmas and grandpas that are sick and ill. And then they pray about their animals sometimes, how their animals weren't doing too good. But you know, that's okay to the Lord, too. He wants us to pray about anything and everything. And the high schoolers, well, not so much. You know, they have a hard time getting up. It's peer pressure is what it is, I'm sure. You know, they want to get up, but they're afraid their friends or somebody next to them is going to laugh at them or say something about it, you know. So unfortunately, as we grow older, we kind of fall into those traps, the traps of life, I'll call them. We're all there. We've all done it. We've all been there. It's unfortunate, because we should have no shame when it comes to our Lord and Savior and calling on His name and speaking to others about Him. It should not be a duty or a problem at all, but yet we still hold back, and we still find situations where we don't aren't able to cope with the embarrassment, if you want to call it that. You know, when I was you guys, young guys' age, you couldn't get me up in front of a crowd for anything. If you thought I was going to get up and do a play or sing or do something like that, I mean, you forget it. That wasn't going to happen. But as you get older, you kind of lose those fears, and you become more in tune to the things that need to be done. And why the Lord called me to be a speaker, I don't know, because I'm not a speaker. I don't. I'm not even well educated. I was high school educated. The only reason I have any education at all, because when I was in the military, I worked on airplanes, and then I worked for Delta Airlines for 40 years, Every time a new airplane, new technology, anything new came out, they'd send us to school on it. And I went to school thousands of hours, literally thousands of hours, classroom. I could have gone to college, been a doctor, and probably made a lot of money, but if I had spent that much time in school, but I did. So, but anyway, it was a wonderful career for me, and I enjoyed that very much. The Lord blessed me in that. He blessed my family. I have two beautiful daughters and a son, and got a few grandchildren out there. You know them. They're all pretty much all around here. And a couple of them are not, but some of them are not. But anyway, I'm looking forward to great-grandchildren. I guess right now all we got is grand dogs. They come home and bring their dogs with them. And my daughter was just here this last Saturday, actually. And she brought her dog with her, and they're cute, they're fun. Even dogs need people, and people need dogs, because they're company for them. What's this got to do about the gospel? Well, remember those words I read in chapter 4 of the Doctrine and Covenants? Faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, brotherly kindness, godliness, charity, humility, and diligence. That's how we become saints. How we become the Lord's, so that He can use us for His purposes. All those are virtues. They're virtues of a Christian. They're the witness that we have to other people as we go through our lives and we talk to other people and are close to them or work for them or work around them or even our work at our regular jobs. We are a witness for Jesus Christ. We are witnessing for Him. I think there's a song about that, if I'm not mistaken. We're witnessing for Him. And when we execute or show those attributes in our lives, we're natural witnesses for God and for His kingdom. The Lord has prepared us for this day. You wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for the Lord. And He has a purpose for you if you are here. So hopefully we all understand and know that. And there's great things coming forth. You know, the world looks pretty sad around this time. And it is in many ways. But there's a wonderful hope in the kingdom to come, when our Lord and Savior will come and return and set things right. And He will fight our battles for us. We won't have to fight in wars or anything like that. We may go through some trials, but if our faith is strong enough and our belief is strong enough, then we will definitely overcome. He has given us that promise. And He'll provide, He'll do our battles for us. We won't have to fight any battles. He will give us all the help and the people around us that we need. There's a few things that we have to do, and I talked to you about some of those. Believe in God. Believe that He is and that He created all things, both in heaven and earth. Believe that He has all wisdom and all power, both in heaven and earth. Believe that man does not comprehend all things that the Lord can comprehend. And again, believe that you must repent of your sins and forsake them, and humble yourselves before God and ask in sincerity of heart that He will forgive you. Now, if you believe all these things, He says, see that you do them. Well, I think we're all trying. We all fall short of that goal that we ought to have, but, you know, the Lord's patient. He's been patient with me for quite a few years. He's pulled my fat out of the fire many times. And I've shared some of my testimonies of healing with you. I've been healed many times. I've been taken care of in automobile accidents where I could have been killed. I was up in Nova Scotia when I was in the Air Force, and I was on a trans-Canadian highway that runs across Nova Scotia from Harmon, Newfoundland to St. John's. And it was a nasty night. It was about 9 o'clock, and it was raining, and, you know, it was old, cold, wet, nasty rains. And I was driving the highway. I could barely see. The old cars don't have really good headlights, and I was driving that trans-Canadian highway and on my way to another little town there. And little unknown to me, there was a car coming at me with real bright lights on. And I could hardly see anything with that rain. It didn't help any. And of course, there were glares all over the place. I couldn't really see the highway that well. I just tried to keep away from those lights. And by the time those lights passed me and my eyes adjusted, there was a car across the road right in front of me, and there was no way I could stop. And I hit him right at the front fender, and spun him around. He went off a big ditch there, and I ended up just with a little fracture on my leg. And none of those people in that car was hurt. I was so glad, because there was about six people in that car, and I could have really hurt them. And I was probably going about 60, I would guess. But this one time, the Lord once again took care of me, took care of them. And I can relate to you many, many times when He has watched over me. And now when I get in the car, I have to pray every time, because it's a dangerous place out there, in case you haven't noticed. People are so in such a hurry. I don't really know why they're in a hurry. They're not going to get anywhere any faster. 90% of the time, you get there just as fast. You drive a decent speed limit and whatever. But anyway, we all think we got something we have to be or somewhere we have to do. And have you ever been on where the road is going to cut down to one lane or two lanes from three lanes or something like that? And you see the signs up ahead, and everybody starts pulling over. Some of them start pulling over. Some of them start passing you, so they can be the first ones to get up there in front of you. And all they do is just bind up the traffic. Instead of merging in, they just stop all the traffic. And that's why we have all these backups on the roads today. For whatever reason, they think they got to be ahead of you. I think many people live their lives like that, that they think they have to be ahead of everybody else. They have to be competitive. They have to be the first ones on the field. They have to be the last ones to leave. They have to be the strongest athlete, the greatest player, the highest scorer. They have the most money. And, you know, that's just pride. And, you know, the saying, pride goes before the fall. So it's not going to get them anywhere. We know that. I've been there and done that, so I understand that they're not going to get anywhere. They're not going to be there any faster than I am. So that's one of our problems with the world today. And, you know, these wars that are going on now are prophesied. We know they were coming. The Lord told us about it. So we're not too surprised. And quite frankly, I'm not too worried. But I do worry about my friends. And my daughter has a good friend who is over in, her family is from the country over there. They're invading. Can't think of the name of it right now. But anyway, her family is from there. And they've been displaced. And she doesn't know about her brother and some of the menfolk, because they're still fighting. The menfolk weren't able to leave the country. They wouldn't let them leave. If they were of an age they could carry a gun, the menfolks had to stay. And they're still fighting over there for that. And those people probably didn't do anything wrong, but it's part of the world situation today. We're going to see more and more of that, so we shouldn't be afraid of that either. What we're going to see down the road is the kingdom of our God. And He will be our forward and our rearward. He said He'd fight His battles for us, and I believe He will. We have a wonderful gospel that we can share with those around us. And that's really what we need to be doing, is sharing this wonderful blessing, this wonderful church that the Lord has provided for us, that we can have this knowledge and we can share it with others. It's a great blessing. You know, my wife's reading a book now about life after death kind of deal. It's people that have died and then come back. And somebody took the trouble to record their stories and their own words. And all of them pretty much said the same thing. You know, there is life hereafter. There is an opportunity for us when we go on. all those that came back, went and came back, all didn't want to come back. None of them did. They wanted to stay where they were at. Many of them described it as beautiful. Many of them, absolutely beautiful. Many of them described it as being peaceful and joyous. And they described the, there were many different places. They weren't all in the same place. And we also know that in his house there are many mansions, and he has told us that. And we also know that there's three different levels of the king of heaven hereafter, or celestial and terrestrial and telestial. And we have so many scriptures and things that tell us about those things that nobody else has. Nobody else has the book of Genesis, which has a story of Enoch and his city in it. Enoch's city, which is going to return with the church of the firstborn. What a blessing that we have in those scriptures that tell us all the things we need to know. And a wonderful belief we have that God still speaks today. He didn't just stop talking when the Israelites crossed over the Jordan. That wasn't the end of his speaking to his people. What kind of God would that be? He still speaks today. We get modern day revelation telling us about those things. And what a joy it is to know that he's still around, still with us. Gives us personal testimonies. I suspect everyone out there has a personal testimony that Jesus has touched his life in some way or another, whether through a friend or whether through their own experiences or through whatever it might be. He is a wonderful Lord, and he desires that we would come into his kingdom and return unto him, that he might use us for his purposes and that he might make us great. We're told that we can even be sons, his sons. You know, I could probably go on and on, but I'd just be repeating myself pretty much. I love section 85 of the Doctrine and Covenants. And I want to read you a few things out of it. And this is the revelation given to Joseph Smith and Oliver, I believe it was Oliver. You don't see it right now, but anyway. He says, "Behold, this is verily thus saith the Lord unto you who have assembled yourselves together to receive his will concerning you. This is pleasing unto your Lord, and the angels rejoice over you. And the alms of your prayers have come up to the Lord's ears of the Lord of Sabbath, and are recorded in the book of the names of the sanctified, even them of the celestial world. Wherefore I now send upon you another comforter, even upon you, my friends, that it may abide in your hearts, even the Holy Spirit of promise, which other comforter is the same that I promised unto my disciples, as I recorded in the testimony of John." What a wonderful promise. He says, "This comforter is the promise which they give you of eternal life, even the glory of the celestial kingdom, which glory is that of the church of the firstborn, even of God, the holiest of all, through Jesus Christ, his Son." And he talks to us about the spirit and the body of man, the soul of man. We all have that soul, our body, that special part of Jesus. When he created us, he gave us a soul. And that soul is part of him. He gave us a part of himself. It's that comforter, that still small voice that tells us when we're doing wrong and when we're doing right. It whispers in our ears and tells us truth. He tells us that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. He tells us all things we need to know. If it's necessary for us to know it, He will show it unto us. But we have to talk to Him. We have to pray. I tell the kids at chapel that every time you pray, you get a check mark in the Book of Life, the Lamb's Book of Life. You get a check mark each time you pray to God. And how many check marks do you think you got on your side, in your column? Hopefully you're like Daniel of old, and three times a day he prayed. Hopefully we pray even more than that. I don't have to, I know you all, most of you anyway, and I know you've got testimonies of your own about healing from people that you prayed for and what a miraculous healing that they've had. The Lord wants to come and visit with each and every one of us. He wants to talk to you on a personal level. Hey, Lord, what about this? Hey, Lord, what about that? What should I do here, Lord? Should I go over here with them, or should I stay here? Where should I go, Lord? All you got to do is ask. In sincerity of heart, believing, and He will grant unto you that desire. It's pretty simple when you think about it. And He's such a loving God. You know, one time in my life I had what Peter talked about, it was the greatest peace ever known. Such a joy in my heart. The Lord poured out His Spirit upon me. I could hardly stand. It was so beautiful and so wonderful. It penetrated your very inner being. Spoke to your inner mind. You knew who it was. You knew what it was. It's a love beyond understanding. You can't describe it with words. We don't have the words. But God has the words. Probably hidden away in the pure language of Adam, which we know about because of the inspired version of the Bible that we have recorded in the book of Genesis. I don't know. I'm really speaking to the choir here, so maybe I don't know what else I can tell you that would enlighten you. I don't have any great amount of wisdom about anything. Other than the fact that I have, like I tell the kids, I don't know all these things in the books, but I have experience. And the experience I have is this or that. Because I lived it. I've been there and done it. I'm past the age of man by several years, and which is 72 according to the Book of Mormon. But I testify to you that He lives. He is. And He wants you to be His. He wants you to come into His church and into His light. And that light will shine over you beyond any light you've ever seen before. Or is it brighter and cleaner and purer than any light that there you've ever seen? Brighter than these LED light bulbs. A light that penetrates your whole being. Like I said, I'm talking to the choir here, so. And I sure have got my share of things I got to take care of yet before I die. And if the Lord, good Lord willing, I'll try to get those done. And I hope this hasn't been too boring for you. And hopefully that you all walk away with something out of it. I know I have. I do every time when I stand up here instead of our Lord Jesus Christ. He always grants unto me the words to say. And I got to tell you, when I came tonight, I had a whole different sermon I was going to prepare for you. In fact, I had several pages of stuff I was going to tell you. Didn't use any of it. That's kind of the way it works with the Lord when He knows who's in the audience. He knows who needs to hear what. And He'll guide your thoughts and your words in that direction. And I hope it's been edifying and strengthening to somebody. And the Lord definitely loves you. And I'm working on it. I've yet to come to that love that Christ has. And it's unfortunate because I should have had it a long time ago. I had a good friend named Carl Cogan who I used to worship with up at Excelsior Springs. He's gone now. He got cancer and died. But you know, he was the most loving and caring man I think I've ever met. You know, you talk about Bill Davies, and I know Bill Davies. Bill Davies was a loving, caring man. And he carried the Spirit of the Lord with him. Well, Carl didn't necessarily carry the Spirit of the Lord with him, but he was a loving, caring man. And he was trying. He was doing his best. And I know when the Lord took him that Carl's up there walking with him now, probably right along with my father-in-law, Bob Schiller. And he was a caring man. He was kind of gruff, truck driver. Dan relate to that, I'm sure, but you know, they were tough people. Had to be. Didn't have any choice. He used to deliver gas at the gas station down in Kansas City at midnight and 1 o'clock in the morning. And some of the people down there running around that time of night, you don't want to be down there with. But Bob did that for years. And he was a good man. He was a convert to the church. And just good people. And I've been surrounded by good people all my life, as I am still today. And hopefully I always will be. I hope I can do a little bit to make your life a little better. If there's anything you need or want, I hope you won't hesitate to ask me. I got a lot of work to do for the Lord yet that I haven't done. And I'm working on that too. So may the good Lord bless and keep you, is my prayer.
Thank you, Harry. Let's conclude our service using hymn number 578, after which our brother Mike Moore will offer our benediction. Thank you.
gracious and loving Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you at the close of this hour and this day for the blessings throughout this day, and we thank you for thy good spirit that has been bestowed upon us. We thank you, Lord, for your love, your patience, your mercy and forgiveness. We thank you for preserving our lives for this very moment and time. We thank you for the experiences that you have given us throughout our lives that strengthen our faith, that keep us on the way, that straight and narrow path. Father, we ask that you would continue to enlighten our minds, enlighten our path, and help us to be those instruments in your hands as we continue to seek and search after thee and look forward to the kingdom. So, Lord, we give you all honor and glory and praise. And we do so in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen.